This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. I'm Doug Hagman, co-host of my son, fellow investigator, fellow researcher Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Ladies and gentlemen,
fear of what could happen, then I don't mean to come down and beat him up, Stephen and Doug, but that's to illustrate that we have some homework to do. Our lives aren't where they're supposed to be because we're not supposed to fear death, bottom line. We're not.
That's right. That's right. Yep, I agree.
Okay, so moving forward, I have on my notes here, in the past, I also saw a terror attack happen, coincidentally, also in Seattle, Washington. So this terror attack that I saw occur in Seattle happened to a Seattle that was still intact. So if the timeline is correct, then this is going to happen first at some point in the future. But in this vision, I was walking in an unknown large city, and I saw the newspaper stand at the corner of this downtown area, and it was the USA Today, and I decided to purchase one of them. So I bought one of the papers, and I was holding it in my hand, and one of the lead stories was about Seattle, Washington, and it had a picture of downtown Seattle, and the fireworks were exploding over Seattle, over the buildings, and the word Seattle Celebrates was in headlines. And as I was looking at it, the still photograph turned into a movie, and I saw the fireworks exploding, and I heard the sounds. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. And then in the midst of this phenomenon, I had seen a newspaper with a movie in it. There was an explosion on one of the buildings. And by the way, I have a link on my notes. If you're there, ladies and gentlemen, I have made a rendering of what it looked like so you could see it. And there was an explosion. One of the buildings blew, just like 9/11. It exploded, and then right after that, there was dust. The building was gone, and the dust was settling all over the city, and then the vision was over. So I always wondered about that. What could cause an event like that to happen, and what was Seattle celebrating? So this was back then, several years ago. By the way, I had this vision in October of 2010, but I published it just last year, but on the day of the Super Bowl, same day I published it. But I always wondered what sort of celebration this would be, because logic reveals that, okay, was it 4th of July? Was it New Year's? Or was it something else? Was it something that Seattle was happy about, the World Series, the Super Bowl? I don't know, but I'm just sharing that this is what I saw. So I have absolutely no doubt in that. We've been on the program before and talked about the terrorism that's coming. The scriptures talk about Babylon being terrorized and how God will allow attacks to happen with them from the inside and from without. So a terrorist attack, I have absolutely no doubt, Steve and Doug, ladies and gentlemen, that one is going to come. And when it does happen, it's going to galvanize America. America has war fatigue right now. They don't want to have a new war. So the powers that be and the people at Tattlestock and the Rand Corporation and those who steer society and engineer the way people think, they know that the only way to turn war fatigue into a desire for war is to do something like this. And that's why I have absolutely no doubt that it's going to come. And, Steve, you've shared for years about the missing suitcases from Russia, as well as some of the diverted attacks that almost happened. Can you comment
yes,
on
sir.
That?
Well, sure. And by the way, to the critics like us, and right now, what you and I talked about, Nathan, what you're talking about is in real time. The people are saying, you're so full of us, you're so full of us, you're just trying to put fear. No, look at the Old Testament. God said he wants his fear in his people. And if you won't fear God, then you're going to have fear. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the point is, look, I've talked to so many people. My calling was twofold. Number one, as a Joseph's ministry, which I fulfilled for 25 years in prepping people to the ridicule and scorn. And by the way, those people that bought that long-term storage food back then probably have the only non-GMO food in existence. And so the point being is that we're now at a time in history when all of these events are culminating. So I want to agree with you. By the way, Steve D. sent me this. The guy's name, it's number 33. Interesting, Michael, if you're listening, and Bieta, Dr. Vladimir Viktor Korshinov. He was found dead, and this is going to be relevant to what I'm going to say, found dead on a Moscow street. Head was bashed in. Korshinov was head of the microbiology subfacility at the Russian State Medical University. He was found dead in the entrance to his home with a head injury. On February 9th, a Russian newspaper proudly reported that Korshinov had probably invented a vaccine protecting from any biological arms. Now, that's why they killed him. So somebody is in possession of that. And again, that's just going back. And I want to share this, Nathan, because this is in real time. This is a guy, Robert B., that gets it. I'm hearing you and Nathan, and he says, oh, my God. Steve, last week Friday, I had a moment where the only way I can say this is straight up. So please, if it sounds crazy, I'm not. Believe me. I had an overwhelming feeling of mass loss of life, millions of people crying out in pain. I just stand crying and sobbing as I've felt all these feelings, no visions, just feelings. I told my better half, oh, my God, these crazies are really going to do it. They are going to kill millions by nuclear war. So if God pronounces his judgment, does that produce fear? If it doesn't produce fear, something's wrong with you. If God says that if the people who are wicked will not return unto him, then he will bring judgment upon them. See, what people got is a misunderstanding, Nathan, of who God is. He's holy. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, what the righteous can do is basically type to each other, you know, emails, and they can basically go back and forth, but that doesn't get anything done. So when we're talking about what you and I are talking about tonight, it's not for fear. And quite candidly, the thing is that I agree with you. your statement. Perfect love casts out all fear. Look, the point is that if I lived in fear, I wouldn't go on the radio. If I lived in fear, I wouldn't put up with all the stuff that gets thrown my way. Because, again, the thing is I'm trying to please Jesus. And the thing that I'm going to stand before is not the court of public opinion. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat. No, by the way, all you scoundrels, jackals, and hyenas out there that absolutely do nothing but tear down, I have been before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I can tell you this. It's where all men's work who claim to be Christians, and obviously if you make it there, you are a Christian, where all your works instantly are known, whether they were done in the flesh or done to the glory of God. Having said that, all of my military sources are converging on the same opinion. And you know what? Let's ask everybody this. Why would not the military, who swore an oath to defend the Constitution, why, when they could have done something, did they do nothing? Have you ever asked yourself that, Nathan?
Indeed.
The only answer that you can come up with in the focus of the Word of God is that the Lord would not allow them, because wickedness has taken such hold of this country that they who could have come to the aid were blocked by the Lord. And we can take blackmail and all that stuff, but when you take that out, there's still some really amazing men and women of God in the military, but God would not let them. And let me share this. The word to those people is, you look to the living God, you get your hearts right with Jesus, and if 1,000 fall at your left side, 10,000 at your right side, it will not come nigh unto you. And Doug, go check your email, if you would. You know a certain pest is buzzing around, so please check that. So, Nathan, I'm just saying this. Don't hold back. You haven't. I believe what the Lord has shown you is real. I believe how it's going to happen is what you have seen. I believe, even back to the first of the show, the red, white, and blue, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the Deagle Report, D-E-A-G-L-E Report, has nothing to do with the radio show guy, was basically saying that by 2025, 260 million people are dead. Did you see that report, Nathan?
I did. That's just shocking. Incredible.
Yeah. So the point is that, tell me, oh critics, you know, and I'm going to share something. Paul appealed to Caesar when it was time to do so. But what I'm saying to those of you who want to take this stuff seriously and who have taken it seriously, take it to the Lord and come to the conclusion that God wants you to come to. Look, Nathan has seen what's happening. It is going to happen in great detail. Nathan, share about the oil prices, because that was an amazing word of God that God gave you back in October, you know? And again, I'll stand on the words that the Lord gave me 28 years ago, not, you know, after the fact. Sure, any prophet can say, thus saith the Lord, Russia will invade the United States. Yeah, well, that's only after everyone else has said it. Hello? Go ahead, Nathan.
Well, when I had that vision in October 11th, and the next day I called Rick Wilds, and I said, Rick, I don't understand it. And I've done that a lot, because God has given me the gift of these visions, but I don't always understand them. So I call the brethren that I can trust. And the first thing Rick said was, Nathan, that's the petrodollar. It's going to crash. And I said, is that what it means? And so then I began a journey to learn everything I could about the petrodollar. But when I took the matters to God about what it meant, God made it real clear that when I said, God, why was it in the form of a sign? I saw a sign 20 to 30 feet across come out of the sky. It landed in the middle of the street. It's about 20 to 30 feet across, 10 feet thick, green sides, a white face with black letters that said Standard Oil. And when I was praying in the days following, I said, God, help me understand, what does the sign mean? And the Holy Spirit said, Nathan, the sign means it's a sign. So you tell everybody, you do it boldly, and you go on programs and you tell them, you will see the sign of oil crashing. You will see the sign of crude oil prices going down. Doug, you're my witness, and Joe, it's on record, it's recorded, you can go back to previous shows, and I stated that on your program. I said, God told me to say, folks, you, for those of you that did make fun of the prophetic warning, you say God doesn't do this anymore, you're one of the secessionist people, and you have blogs saying that we make these dreams up, it's pizza, et cetera, you will see the sign from this point on that oil's going to crash, because God said so. The Holy Spirit revealed, thus saith the Lord. And I stated it on record, and here we are, Steve. Here we are. So that's how God operates. And if that happened, and this is why I continue to plead, and it's not for a badge or anything like that, the thing that scares me about this and makes me tremble is that if that sign is taking place before our eyes, the rest of the vision is also going to take place. That is terrifying, because a lot of people are going to die. So,
Doug, I just read Ezekiel 33. So all of the people who are basically, does it say that? If we don't warn them and they die, you know, their blood's on our hands. If we do warn them and they die, seems to me God is saying something about dying there, isn't he? Why will you die, oh man? You see, here's a complete lack of understanding of who God is. It's like Pastor Langford says, the Lord warned him, David, the attack on my word is going to become greater than it ever has in the entire history of my word. Stand on my word. People will stand on emotions. They'll stand on slander, gossip, envy, strife, jealousy, bitterness, and all those things. Oh, yeah, those are the fruit of the flesh. And they'll allow that garden of flesh to flourish. But I'm saying you've got to flush the flesh and start beginning to embrace the Holy Spirit of God. Repent is the easiest thing I know to do. Thank God it's easy. And to live in that state of turning away. It's to the point now when, and outside of all of the visions that Nathan and dreams you've had and the others are having, and I post them on my website, and I tell people, take them to the Lord, don't argue with me about them, you know, and people say, well, why can't I post my vision on your website? Because your name is not Steve Quayle, and I'm not going to allow people who have come late to the game. And also, again, I did make a change. I will not allow any dated dreams or visions or events to take place. They're always wrong, and I made that mistake in the past. I won't make it again. So, Nathan, at this point tonight, let's just take the major issue. And this is a major issue. The banks of the world are coming apart at the seams. The people are not seeing that the higher prices are a war against them and their earnings. Even today in Davos, one of the biggest bankers in the world made the statement, those of you in America just got to learn to live with less. Oh, and by the way, we need to live with your more. Did you see that?
Oh,
the Jamie Dimon statement? So as I spoke to an Illuminist one time, I said to him, I said, Tex, when is enough enough? He said, Steve, enough is not enough. Even if we got it all, there's still more that we believe we can have. And obviously, you know, the lust, the appetite of demons expressed through humans. And I love it, Doug. Did you get the email I sent you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Yeah.
I don't want to respond any further than that at this point. But yeah, what can I say, man?
Insanity rule. So, Nathan, we're living out in real time what you just said, okay? And again, isn't it amazing that if God uses the word die, hello, Jesus said, in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. People say, well, of course there's no hell. Well, yes, there's a real hell. Or the man that says, I don't believe the parables are literal. That's right, you don't believe. And they're not. He wouldn't accept the fact that they're literal. He wanted to make them allegorical. So the point is, it really, at the end of this night, doesn't matter what I've said or you've said, in that, unless it was a scripture, it's what does God say? Everybody builds their case. Well, I know God. But the question is, again, alas, does he know you? Because when he said to the people, he said, Lord, didn't we do all this great stuff? Look at what we did. We did. He says, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. I never knew you. It's about relationship. It's not about claimantship. Anybody can claim it, you know, the name it and claim it crowd. But to live it out, and again, where's the fruit? You know, the bottom line is there used to be that hamburger commercial, where's the beef? But now where's the fruit? And so a destroying wind has come upon the land. Tom Horn's book, Blood on the Altar, is accelerating in real time. And so, Nathan, as we are at this point in history right now, the bottom line is we have got to basically tell the people everything we know. And you have done that. I have done it. And by the way, Vladimir Zhirinovsky made this statement. Russia, with lots of money, resources, and new weapons that no one knows about them yet, with them we will destroy any part of the planet within 15 minutes. Not an explosion. Not a ray burst, not some kind of a laser, not a lightning, no, but a quiet and peaceful weapon. Whole continents will be put to sleep forever, and that's all. You'll have to dig in the wreckage and debris of your buildings, and all of your 120 million will die if you ever demand the curls from us. And then there will be another tsunami on the other side of the planet in the Caucasus. I'm sorry, that's it for you. So the bottom line is that's what he was announcing. Forgive me for coughing. And the point is that in that same article, he talks about the ellipton. So it's amazing to me, and I guess this is where I'll turn it right back over to you. It's God who's pleading with his people not to die. It's God who is giving warning. Why will you die, O man? He's not just warning about earthly life. He's talking about eternal life. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Hello, look up the word death, and I'll do it, Nathan, in my concordance. Just see how many times it applies. And Jesus said that he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Go ahead, Nathan.
All right, well, I'm going to now talk about my bear, my recent visions and dreams, and then I'm going to ask you for your comments, Steve. I have about 30 minutes left, and I'll finish as best I can. Now, 2 years ago, it might have been a little bit longer, 2 years ago I had a prophetic dream that I was working on a fence. And remember the key terms that the Holy Spirit revealed in this, because it coincides with what other people are seeing. I was working on a fence, building a new fence, and while I was working on it, I saw through the knothole that there was a bear on the other side of this fence. And then an elderly gentleman came from behind me, and they said, hey, nice fence. And I said, yeah, look what's on the other side of the fence. And I told them there's a bear on the other side, and they got real excited. And I said, no, don't get too close to the fence. And they walked up to the fence. It was about 5 feet high, and they started reaching their arms across to feed the bear. And I said, don't do that. He's going to attack. And they said, no, it's fine. I want to feed the bear. And the bear stood up on its hind legs and from the other side of the fence and placed the elderly person in a bear hug, so the fence was between them, and it started squeezing his body, and the bear bit into its skull, and the skull just blood erupted. The bear killed him. And I woke up, and this was 2 years ago, Steve, and I never knew, I didn't know what it meant, so I just put it on the shelf. Well, fast forward now to 2 months ago. Actually, it was probably a little bit less than 2 months ago. In this prophetic dream, I was walking in the woods, and I was away from my vehicle, and the woods resembled what we have here in the northwest, inland northwest, evergreen trees, very green. There's no cars and buildings around. You're in the woods, and I was in the woods, for those of you that understand the landscape, several miles from my vehicle, walking on a trail, and I came upon a clearing, and when I walked into the clearing, I saw a giant bear that was asleep, and this bear was about 12 feet long, sleeping on its back, and it was out. It wasn't snoring, but it was having some good sleep, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, man, I don't want to be here. And then I looked to the side of it, and that was a cub, a bear cub, just a few weeks old. And it was playing with berries, and when it saw me, it hopped over to me and started smelling me. It was interested, and then it tried to climb my leg. It wanted to play. And then over to the side of the cub was a teenage bear that was about half the size of the mother bear, and that one was about 6 feet long. So when I saw that I was near the mother bear and its two children, I was struck with great terror and fear, because as those of you know, you don't get anywhere near a mother with her cubs. They'll kill you. So I started backing out, and I turned around. I tried to tiptoe out of there to not awaken it and get away as far as possible. And I walked faster and faster. I was 50 feet away, 100 feet away, but the bear cub kept following me and he was trying to climb my leg. After I was about 100 feet away, I started running quickly, and then I lost the bear cub, and then I was about 200 to 300 feet away. When I was far enough away, I looked back, and I was thinking that, wow, I guess I made it, and I didn't wake it up. The bear didn't wake up. I looked back, and about 50 feet behind me was my 15-year-old son walking out of the woods behind me with our little dog, and he was just talking to the dog out loud. And I started to tremble in my dream. I was so afraid that this bear was going to be awakened by my son that I tried to hand signal him, and I told him to run toward me, and he saw me, and then so he started jogging. And then right when he did, the bear woke up. And the growl filled the canyon with so much, or the woods with, you know, that growl. It echoed. It was very powerful and loud, and it started coming out. So I told my son, run as fast as you can, and then I started running. So in the dream, my heart's pounding. And for those of you that have had prophetic dreams, when it's not quite a nightmare, but the fear that you would have in a nightmare where you tremble, I was experiencing it because I was fearful for my son's health and his safety. So I kept running, and I could hear him getting closer and closer behind me. I looked back behind me, and eventually he was only about 15 feet behind me, and I knew that he was going to pass me up and he was going to be safe. So then I was relieved. But I also was not entirely relieved, because the car was still a mile away, and I was thinking to myself, what do? Do we climb a tree? No, they'll catch us. The only thing I can think of doing is I'm just going to have to lay on the ground and play dead and crawl up in the ball like they say to do. So I decided I was going to do that so that my son would be safe. So I told him to keep going, and I was going to lay on the ground. And in my mind, I was thinking, boy, is this going to hurt. And so I laid down, and then the dream was over. Well, when I woke up, I shared it with my wife, and I was so concerned and fearful after I woke up. I was wondering, God, are you telling me my son's life is in danger? Something going to happen? Is some bear going to attack him? Or help me. And, you know, when you have a dream about your child, no parent wants to have that, right, gentlemen? So for a matter of days, several days, I kept taking it to God. And then my older son, when I shared it with him, he says, Dad, that was not about our son. That was prophetic. And I said, do you think so? And he goes, yes. Go ask God what you think, and it's prophetic, Dad. And he wouldn't tell me what it was. So I continued to seek God. And then within a few days, I had another one. And this is the part that's interesting. Well, before I share that, I had two more bear dreams, but before I had that one, there was another one where I was walking on a highway in the country, in a rural setting. Farmland was on each side of us, and I was just walking. It was a dirt road. I was all alone walking. And suddenly a Humvee came up to my side from behind me and stopped on my right side. And there was a military officer driving the Humvee. And he looked over at me and he said, Nathan, hey, how you doing? I love your show. Do you want to ride? And I looked at him and I said, huh. And I thought to myself, wow, he listens to the show. Interesting. And he's offering me a ride. Right. So, okay, he doesn't have bad intentions. He seems friendly. Okay, I'll get in his vehicle. So he opened the driver's side door of his Humvee and he said, hop in. So I hopped in and he started driving, but he stayed on the driver's side. So we were both sharing the bucket seat of the driver's side. And after he had moved a few feet, I leaned forward and looked at the passenger side. No one else was there. And so I asked him, I said, can I sit over there? This is weird. And he goes, oh, sorry. So he stopped the vehicle. And instead of just stopping in the road and letting me climb out and walk around, he stopped the vehicle, put it in reverse, and went into the cornfield that was to his right. And he drove into it about 15 feet. And he said, okay, hop out and go around. So I hopped out. And when I did, my feet fell into about a foot of mud. The corn was about it was about chest high. And it landed in the mud, and he goes, oh, look at that. The ground's muddy. Well, that's nasty. And he said, just walk around and get in. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. This is dirty. So I climbed on the sideboard and went around the back. It was like a pickup bed on the back of the Humvee. I walked across the back, and I got on the other side. And he said, take off your boots. I was wearing boots before you get in because they're muddy. So instead of doing that, I just sat with my back inwards with the door open with my feet hanging out. And he goes, okay, that's good. And then he drove out. So another key interesting – several things occurred right there, and I'll talk about them in a second. So he drove back out into the road and proceeded the drive for another few miles, and he was just giving friendly chat. And then instantly, to the left side, a supermarket parking lot appeared to my left. It could have been as big as a Walmart parking lot. He goes, okay, here you go. And by the way, Nathan, again, thanks for your show. I love your show. He said that again, Steve. Very interesting. So I hopped out, and then in my mind, I kept telling myself, I got to get home. I got to get home to do the program about Russia. And that's what was on my mind. So when I walked into the parking lot, the minute I set foot in the parking lot, it was empty when I saw it from the road. When I set foot on it, and this is how prophetic dreams work, things instantly appear. When I set foot on the parking lot was instantly full of hundreds of people crossing the parking lot. And the people ranged from teenagers who were 13, 14, 15 years old, all the way to middle-aged and elderly people, senior citizens. They were all carrying rifles. The teenagers were carrying 22s. There were 14- and 15-year-old kids. They were all armed, like they were going somewhere for battle. And as I walked through them, I kept telling myself, I got to finish my research about Russia, and the dream was over. So I shared that with my family, and I did not understand it. And this dream, by the way, has a lot of information. Now, when we to break it down, and Steve, I'll ask for your comments, but to break it down, at the very beginning, I was in a rural area, and a military vehicle came forth. The military officer was friendly to me, but the big question is, what was the military doing in my area so freely? When he said, by the way, he said, we love your show. I love your show, but we listen to it. So apparently military individuals were local. So the big question is why? Okay, the next thing was when he backed up the vehicle and I got out and stepped into the corn, I sought God about this, and I didn't know why it was wet and muddy. So I called a friend of mine. By the way, Ben, if you're listening, God bless you. A farmer friend of mine who lives in the Dakotas. And I asked him, why was the corn wet? What does that mean? And he told me that after you plant corn and when it gets to a certain height, the rains will come in the summer to the late summer. And from the moisture that comes, then they will really shoot out into the fall harvest and they'll be healthy. So he said that it's possible that that was an indicator of when this occurred, which places it at the end of the summer. Okay, so then we have me getting out at the grocery store, and all of the citizens were walking with weapons. What I really believe that was showing, Steve and Doug, was that the citizens' shoulders had been mobilized, getting ready, because in my mind, I was thinking, I got to do my research about Russia. It was tied to Russia, and I believe that at some point when this invasion happens, and again, ladies and gentlemen, key word, America is going to be invaded. That bear that I saw in the vision, held back by the chain of God, Steve, you mentioned this earlier, when I saw that bear, I was looking at the map of the United States, and it was standing at the Canadian border, looking into the United States. It was north, wanting to come across, but God was holding it back. So there is going to be an invasion, and when that happens, at some point, every citizen of America that has a brain, that understands what's going on, will be mobilized, and we are going to have freedom fighters, we're going to have resistance. It's going to be very bloody, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to get ugly, and instead of saying and painting a romantic picture, it's going to be red dye, it'll be neat. No. War is hell. War is horrible. People die. People suffer. Things are destroyed. It is horrible what is coming. It's not going to be romantic, and for the patriots that are listening that can't wait for this thing to happen, when you go to read the comments made by the Ukrainians right now who are having their civil war, they are bleeding. Their emotions are bleeding in their comments. They hate what's going on. The leader, the public leader of the Ukraine just issued a mandate that he's going to draft 50,000 new soldiers all the way, get this, ladies and gentlemen, all the way up to age 60 in the Ukraine. So individuals citizens of the Ukraine said, I am not going to do it, and people are crossing the border into Russia. They're having chaos over there because they are being recruited. That's, by the way, round one. He's going to have another round for another 50,000, and at that rate, almost 5,000 have died, according to the official numbers. That would mean 1 in 10 of the recruits is going to get killed if the numbers stay the same. War is horrible. That's going to happen here. Brother against brother, political faction against political faction. It's going to raise up the excuse for individuals full of Satan to shed blood, who have been waiting to shed blood, the sociopaths, the demonic-filled people, the types that we saw in Ferguson, the rioters. It's all going to break apart at the same time. It's going to be so horrible, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have to look forward to. Now, that was just a few weeks ago. Now, move forward, I want to mention the other one, Steve, and then we'll summarize them, all of them together. A few weeks ago, I was walking once again in my town here where I live. It's a small town. Country town, and in this vision, I happened to see that same giant 12-foot-long bear walking through our town. And when I saw it, I said to myself, there you are. And it's like the visions were connected. The previous one was weeks before. And by the way, that's a witness. The Bible tells us in Genesis, Joseph told Pharaoh, God gave it to you twice. That's confirmation. Job talks about it. God speaks to us once, yea, twice in a vision, a dream of the night, but man doesn't perceive it. So God speaks to us. When he speaks to us twice, pay attention. When he speaks to us three times, four times, ladies and gentlemen, woe is us. God, take care of us. So I saw the same bear walking in my city, and I engaged it, and I started to fight it. I had a weapon in my hand, a hand weapon. It was like a javelin or a spear, and I stabbed it, and I killed it, and it fell down in someone's front yard. And in the dream, I had bravery. I wasn't afraid, so I killed it. And I wanted to show other people about this bear, and the threat of the bear was gone. So I left it laying in someone's yard, and I walked away. And when I came back to show, and I don't know who the person was I was going to show, the bear was gone. And there was another person standing around. I said, what happened to that bear? And they said, it wasn't dead, or it came back to life and it walked away. And I said, what? What do you mean? It's not dead? No. So I told them, well, we need to go find it. So we drove around our small little town, and then a few blocks later, I found it again, laying in somebody else's yard. This time it had a huge bullet hole in its shoulder, and the blood was coming out. It was dead. And so I knocked on the front door of the homeowner, and I said, tell me what happened. And they said, well, the sergeant of the sergeant here, our local police department, shot it with his high-caliber rifle. He killed it. And I said, oh, that's awesome, great. So now we don't have to worry about the bear. And while we were looking at the bear, Steve and Doug and Joe, it started to move its head. Its paws started to move. It pushed itself up, the front part of its body up, and then its back legs picked up its body. It shook away the slumber, and it walked away. It came back to life. So now I have this bear. I have two dreams about a bear. It's sleeping. It wakes up. One of them's chasing my 15-year-old son. And then this one in my city, I couldn't kill it. I woke up, and over breakfast, this is a few days ago, I shared this dream with my family at the breakfast table. And my 21-year-old son said, Dad, did you really dream about a bear that you fought? And I said, yes. And he goes, you want to hear what I dreamt last night? Same night, Steve. I said, okay, go ahead. And he said, last night, I was, now, listeners, 2 years ago, I was building a fence. The bear killed the elderly gentleman. A fence. So now move forward. My son said, last night I dreamt that I was here in our town working for one of the wealthier people in our town, and I was building a fence around his house. And the fence I was building was 5 to 10 feet away from his house. And when I was building it, there was another friend, two friends of mine my age. My son's 21. And he said that he looked at the house, and the house had some basement steps going down to a basement entrance. And for those of you that know how basements are, you can go down the steps. And he said he looked down the steps, and there was a bear sleeping at the bottom of the steps. And I asked him, what did it look like? And he said, it was as long as our couch. And our couch is about 9 feet long. So this is that same giant bear. I said, what color was it? It was black. Same bear. So he said, when I was looking at it, it woke up, and it came up the steps, and it started shaking our fence, and it knocked our fence down. It kept breaking our fence. And again, Steve and Doug, the fence. We have the fence mentioned. Okay, so it knocked the fence down, and so my son said him and his friends started to fight with the bear, and he jumped on its back, and he started to choke it. And he choked it out. They both landed on the ground sideways, and the bear stopped moving. And I asked him, do you think you killed it? And he goes, I don't know. It just stopped moving, so I let go. So he let it go, and he was standing there looking at it. And then after, I don't know how much time went by, the bear woke up. So if it was dead, it came back to life. If it was hurt, it reawoke. And then it walked down the basement steps and went back to sleep. So now the fence was messed up, and he had to fix it. The homeowner came out. By the way, the homeowner was wealthy and was having a party while he was working on this fence, and the bear's asleep at the foot of his basement. And the homeowner started yelling at my son because he said, your fence is all messed up. Fix it. So my son had to do his best to fix it. And then the homeowner went back inside, and a little girl came out from the party, and my son said, hey, you want to see something cool? Look at this bear that's sleeping. And he showed her the bear, and then his dream was over. So he told this to me when we woke up, and I was just sitting there thinking, this is not a coincidence. You were in our town. I was in our town. We both encountered a bear. We fought the bear. I thought I killed it. I thought a police force killed it. You thought that you either killed it or wounded it, but it kept coming back to life. This is prophetic. And, Steve, this got my attention. I took the matter to God in prayer, and I said, God, show me what this means. What does this mean? And so I sought God, and I asked him, and I broke down the components of all the dreams I've shared thus far. We have a fence in my earlier dream, killing an elderly person, and then in my son's dream, that fence is the border, by the way, and it's not secure. The bear can knock it right down. When God lets go of the restraint, that fence is coming down, and Russia's going to come right across the border. It's not going to hold back the invasion. From the south, from the north, and also that fence represents a lot of things. The shields on the coastlands, the Patriot missiles, and whatever defenses we have, the fence is not going to work. It's going to fail when it's time, when God says, okay, go ahead. The other thing is the Russian bear has been awakened, and the Russian bear has a cub that it's very angry about. That cub is the Ukraine. Now, I haven't been able to figure out why I saw two cubs. Maybe one of them was Crimea. I don't know, and if you can shed light on this, I don't know, but I really believe that one of them has to do with the Ukraine, and Mama Bear does not want the world messing with her baby cub, but the world is messing with its baby cub, and Putin's getting mad, and he's going to do something about it, and that's coming. Now, as I sought God and I asked him, God, help me to understand, fix this image for me. Help me to understand what this means. This is what God showed me. Okay. And this is the part that I don't like having to talk about, but I'm a watchman, and our life here is temporary, and I've talked to my boys, and they understand it too. They're Christians. They love the Lord. They understand what time it is. This is the part that's going to be disturbing to the listeners that have families and children and teenage boys. My son is 21, and he engaged the bear. That meant that my son, at some point, is going to be fighting against the Russian invasion, whether it's going to be through a draft or citizens, soldiers, freedom fighters, resistance. That's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a boy that is above 18, there's a good chance the draft will happen. Now, my other boy was 15 when the bear was chasing him out of the woods. The question that I asked Steve and Doug and myself, and I've asked God this, and I think what that tells us is that if this war starts very soon, my oldest is going to be involved, but it's also going to involve my 15-year-old, which means it could last up to 3 years. This isn't going to be a quick thing. We're going to see war that even if children are middle-aged, middle teens, they'll be old enough for the draft eventually. Or, let me say this, when I saw all of the people walking across the parking lot, I saw teenagers, 14, 15, 16 years old, carrying 22s. So that could also mean that the war is going to happen so soon, and even teenage boys are going to be recruited to fight the invasion. And ladies and gentlemen, on paper, that sounds romantic. Oh, red badge of courage. Oh, how neat. Your son's going to be brave. But here's the bad part. War ends up with death. War results in bloodshed. And I've told my sons that that's what we're facing. You guys, we are facing the potential of war where you guys are going to – you could die. And they have told me that they understand that, and they're making sure that they have their hearts right with God. I'm pumping this into them daily. I'm standing in the gap for them. I'm praying for them. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Stephen, Doug, and you, I'm sure you've received these types of emails from parents or from a mother who's crying and weeping, saying, I don't like your message. My son's life's in jeopardy. Yes, that's right. Their life is in jeopardy, so you need to pray for them. Stand in the gap for them and let them know what time it is. We're at the place now where this thing is real, ladies and gentlemen. This thing is so real, and that's what we're facing. But even the watchman understands, Nathan Liao understands that my boys could end up sacrificing their lives. Steve, you have boys that are going to be a part of this too. So you understand this thing, what I'm trying to say. Now, when I was asking God, and I'm going to show this next vision, and then I'm going to turn it to you, Steve. I said, God, how bad are we looking at? Tell me. Help me out. Okay, this has been a few nights ago. In this next prophetic dream, I was in my yard having a summer barbecue. which, by the way, timeline, it was in the summer. I don't know what year it was. It was in the summer in my backyard. And a person walked up to me. I believe that he was an angel of the Lord in my dream. And he said, hey, do you want to know what's coming? And I sarcastically said, well, does it involve the colors red, white, and blue? I said it in jest. And he said, when he was about to open his lips and tell me what happens, but then I believe he showed me what happens. And the next thing that happened was the sky. Our house was next to a hill that eventually became a mountainside. And on the other side of the mountain, in my dream, I was living next to a mountain with a city. I don't know where that city was. So I did not necessarily live here in Idaho where I live. It could have been anywhere in the country. But this is showing what's coming. Instantly, seconds later, the sky erupted in a bright flash over the top of the mountain. And then seconds later, I heard the loudest explosion I've ever heard. For those of you that live in the Midwest or the South, and when you've been in a thunderstorm, when a thunderstorm shakes the windows, it was 10 times louder, 100 times louder than that. It was the loudest thing I'd ever seen. And when it exploded and erupted in its boom, my daughter, who was next to me, started to cry because it scared her. And then suddenly a second flash occurred on the other side. And then I said out loud, I said, this is going to be loud. Cover your ears. So we were all looking to the sky, and we covered our ears, and then it happened again, and it shook us. The ground shook. And then within a few seconds, the oddest thing came over the top of the mountain. It was a large pillar of smoke. It looked like a column of smoke. The smoke actually stayed in a circular form in the shape of a tube. It was dissipating just a little bit, but it's like there was an invisible skin holding it together. And it came over. It stayed upright. It came over the top of the mountain. It was hundreds and hundreds of feet high, and it was very, very white. And when it came over, I was just looking at it. It hovered very slowly over our heads, and it was orange colored. And, Steve, I mentioned that when I had the Spokane vision of the orange smoke, here it is again, a column of smoke, orange. And it came over the top. And then as I was looking at it, I could see past the pillar of smoke, very high in the air, something was in the air, and then it started coming toward us, and it was falling through the sky. And I could tell it was going to land in our yard. So we kind of made room. We backed up, and it landed right in the middle of my backyard, and it was a huge chunk of ice. And it was probably about 10 feet tall, maybe about 2 feet thick. It was round in nature, like a stem, and the top of it was shaped like a mushroom. It was a frozen mushroom that came out of the sky. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking to myself, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. What in the world? And it started to melt very quickly, and within seconds, it was melted. And on the inside of it was a huge pole that had been sharpened on the tip. It looked like the pole for a stop sign or a road sign. So it was debris from the explosion that had been caught up in the air, got coated with ice, and landed in my backyard. So as I was looking at it, I was thinking to myself, what in the world did that mean? And in my dream, I thought to myself, this is what I asked myself, the question. And many times, whatever you think in a prophetic dream is a part of the information. I asked myself, was this the jihadist? And then the dream was over. So when I put everything together and I awakened the next day, I wondered, what in the world was that column of smoke? And in the book of Revelation, it talks about the ice that we're going to see. And also in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 30, God says, I will show you wonders in the heaven, signs, pillars of smoke, of fire. He's going to show that to us at the very end of time. I believe that's what I was seeing, Steve. I was seeing a vision of something that was so phenomenal, so apocalyptic, that it was historic. It was a pillar of smoke. But the other thing that was very incredible was the frozen ice. Now, I'll say this real quick, and then I'll give it to you, Steve. I looked and scoured the Internet, and I tried to find, does ice, because the Bible tells us about the hailstones, does ice occur after a blast of an atomic bomb? And on the notes that I have, Doug, on the page, if the people are there, you can scroll down. It says recent prophetic visions and dreams. I have two links to two testimonies of individuals who survived Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and both of these people, Japanese citizens, say that one of them says that for 2 hours after the atomic blast, it hailed for 2 hours, hailstones. And another person said the entire city, they were on the edge of town, so they went and jumped into a river, and the only way they could escape the heat was to dunk themselves, and when their face came out of the river, they kept getting pelted by hail that lasted a long time. So there is the phenomenon of hail, and also with debris that can be sucked up into the stem and coated with ice. So with that, Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you, but I wonder if the orange, the recurring theme of orange, indicates an EMP, because I've also tried to research EMPs, and I have also found that some have said that in some of the test explosions, there's an orange cloud after the EMP. And with that, I'm going to stop and let you comment on what I've said here.
Well, I think that the presence of the bear in different locations is indicative of everything we've been warning about, and obviously that the U.S. government, in requesting all the foreign troops to come into this country for over now almost going on 15 years, is the fact that it not only are the fences down, but that's what I think the imagery was portraying of, you know, the older man, the bedroom, and all the different places that you or your sons were running into the bears. In other words, I believe that the strategic location of the armies that are already here are going to be, you know, well dispersed. I believe everybody's going to fight. Look, from the time my kids were little, I have two, I have three male, I've got to count them. I have three male sons, okay? Two of them are in their 30s, and one of them is in his 20s, 25, my youngest, which you met. And the deal is that since they've all been about eight, they've known that day will come. But it seems like I've skipped a generation now. I've got to warn my grandchildren about what's getting ready to happen. And obviously, their parents, meaning my kids, at least my kids that have children, you know, it's pretty tough for them to deal with. But here's the deal. there is an exclusivity in the minds of Americans that somehow this is never going to touch us. If you've heard me or heard of my concern, Nathan, the thing that is the most exasperating thing I know, the thing that I cannot escape, is the quietness or the lack of concern in the majority of Christendom to all the little children are being slaughtered. I understand Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, come unto me." You add the abortion, you add everything up, and the world has become literally awash in blood. And that's why I go back to the days of Noah so much and what I write, because the whole earth is corrupted now. Everything's being corrupted. Articles on inventing mini people, okay? The bear, I can't give you the interpretation because I don't have it of everything, but I think what the Lord was showing you in that dream was the Russians are everywhere, and they don't speak like, you know, most people would think. They speak very good English, and they have their orders. And I believe that what we're seeing right now in the United States of America, with everything blowing up, you know, you were one that went on record before all the railroad events or railroad accidents took place, but what we're seeing is a form of gray terror. Obviously written about by so many of the Russian defectors, talking about what it would be like shortly before the war. You cannot escape the fact that we are provoking Russia. I have a different view of Russia than most, and what I'm saying is that I understand, I'm not making excuses for anything, but I also understand that the globalists make more in one day of war than a year of peace. And when you see now that 1% own the majority of the world's wealth, and then get guys who are mouthpieces for Wall Street saying what you've got's not enough, and I'm a multi-gazillionaire and I want what you've got, should be a warning to everyone. The question that has to be answered tonight for everyone is simply this. If there is a cyber attack, and even in the State of the Union last night from the entity, he spoke of this. So what? Imagine, Nathan, a national, over the United States, EMP attack, okay, whether it has the attendant orange color. It could be an intercontinental biological warhead missile, too, because even when you use a bioweapon, you have a dispersal medium, you know, so I don't know if that's the orange powder, but I will say this, that we are now seeing the country being prepped for a cyber attack. And isn't it amazing? All the records disappear except the government just happens to have backups through the NSA. And now to reintegrate into society, guess what? You've got to take the mark, the chip, the implant. I see this as the greatest setup, and it's playing out. And one of the watchmen's job is to basically discern the times, the signs, and the signs of the times, and to make it plain to people. The point is that everybody wants to attack the messenger and not integrate the message. And I'll tell you why. And I believe the Lord showed me this. I've spoken about it. People don't want to take personal responsibility and accountability for their actions or the lack thereof. The judgment seat of Christ, having been there, to the chagrin of my critics, is very, very, there's no excuse. What you've done for Jesus' life, it stands if it's born of the Holy Ghost. What you've done for yourself in this life, trying to claim God was in it, burns up. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And it's amazing. God says he urges us that by eyes have, that we might see, that we might hear. So, you know, I would say this, that the message I take away, and I don't have enough understanding to talk, you know, about your vision, but the fact that the bear was everywhere, that the fence obviously is what it is, that the orange glow and that the Seattle, the point is Bremerton, a nuclear sub-base will be a number one priority, Boeing field, number two priority, the technology base of Seattle, the other priority. So, and look, the white missiles too. Remember this, we had China launch a missile, a submarine-launched ballistic missile, west of Catalina Island that was observed by hundreds of boaters and everything, and the government just explained it away as a Learjet. Well, I'm telling you this, I know Learjets pretty well, and they don't come out of the water. You know, so the point being is that we're now being set up for the kill. 260 million Americans are going to die, and I am absolutely going to fight it tooth and nail. Someone says, do you think you'll prevail? And I said, that's in God's hands, but I will pray, intercede. Pastor David Langford is called for a National Day of Prayer and Fasting on the 31st, that we might repent of all of our sins. You know, look, I can't worry about the Illuminati sins. They are what they are, but I can deal with my sins and repentance and believe the blood of Jesus to cover it. And we can call upon God to spare your people, O Lord, in the midst of judgment, Lord, spare your people. That's my prayer. And I refuse the people that send me emails saying, well, you should call everyone to pray for the country. I can't. I heard from heaven, literally. So it says only crazy people hear from God. Yeah, well, let me share this with you. Crazy people hear from the devil, and they're butchering people, they're killing people, they're slaughtering people, all in the name of he who they believe in, and yet the Christians won't even stand up for he who they believe in. And therein lies the problem. Therein is where we're at in time, Nathan. I believe the warnings that God's given to you, the warnings that God's given me, Joe and Doug Hagman have been so kind, all of the information that Greg Evenson has given, The Hawk, week after week after year, all of us doing what we're just trying to do our part. And, you know, the bottom line is everybody should take what you said tonight and I've said tonight to the Lord. Quit trying to establish your own righteousness. Accept the fact there are none righteous. And when God's, and people say to me all the time, well, God knows what's in my heart. Yeah, he knows it's evil beyond all belief. Never approach God what's in your heart. Approach him with the sin in your life and asking him to forgive you, because Jesus trusted no man because he knew what was in their hearts.
Amen, Steve. With that, gentlemen, we're up against the close of our program. Actually, we are right at the edge. I just want to say thank you to both. God bless you, Steve. God bless you, Nathan. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
God bless.
Good night, gentlemen.